and welcome to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. You're tuned in to Mixin' It with Nikki Chris. This is Nikki, and in case you don't know anything about me, I'm a singer-songwriter from Raleigh, North Carolina. My show celebrates women in the music and entertainment industry, providing an avenue for them to showcase their talent. Our motto, Sisters in Music, Together We Are Stronger. We build bridges, not walls. I'm excited to share today's guest with you. She's an award-nominated recording artist, songwriter, and diversity inclusion advocate based in New York City. She's released songs with Sony and Warner Music, collaborating with and supported by some of the biggest names in the dance music industry. Boasting millions of streams on Spotify, her music has debuted on national charts, aired on TV, radio, and film, and has been featured and mentioned in New York Times, American Songwriter, Oprah Radio, NPR, and HuffPost, to name a few. Please welcome to the show, Letchy. How are you today?
Hey there. Hey. I'm good. I'm so glad to be here.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. I am. I'm really excited to have you, and I really appreciate you joining us today. It's important that we all reach out and meet new people, and that's what you and I did. We met over email communication, so it's like really great.
We sure did. I feel like we landed in each other's inboxes and then just slowly continued to kind of converse until we got to this point. And so during this time of us being indoors, you got to really meet people in any way you can. And it looks like online meeting is just becoming the way, you know?
Yes, I definitely agree.
For sure.
So there's so much going on in the world today, let alone the music business. Can you tell me what it's like to be a female producer-composer of color?
Yeah. You know, firstly, I really, really enjoy what I do. I love to compose. I love to produce. I love to write. And I love to sing and perform what I've created. And I've loved that since I was a child. And it's opening up today a lot more than it was in the past. In terms of being more inclusive of females, in terms of being more inclusive of people of color. However, there is quite a long way to go. And the reason I say that is because when I was younger, as, you know, a young female of color, just looking up to other people that looked like me, seemed like me, sounded like me, talked like me, and, you know, had the kind of walks of life that I did, there really weren't any people for me to point to and go, I want to be that. You know, people had their astronauts, people had their basketball players or whatever that they wanted to look up to and point to, and I didn't have anyone. And so we are getting into a time where people are coming out, speaking out, and trying to turn around and be that for, like, the new generation. I am excited and hopeful for just the next generation to have people like myself and my colleagues in similar situations to me to point at and go, like, hey, wow, you know, there's a woman of color out there, not just being a singer, not just being a dancer, but actually being a producer and being a composer and doing more technical things with knobs and, you know, volume and gain and this and that, and using software and hardware to actually create some of the music that is being made today. So I think that's really where I stand on that. I mean, we've come a long way, but there is definitely more roads and further we can go.
Yep. And I completely agree. And it's funny that you're just mentioning this because I was just talking to somebody about this very scenario. I have a great producer that I work with consistently, and he mentors me, keyword, he. I would really love to find, you know, somebody similar that's a woman that I could work with and learn more and that type of thing, because I think sometimes women offer a completely different perspective and would be more willing to accept certain suggestions or things like that. So it is important. And I see it too from where I sit. So I definitely think you'll be one of those people, though, that young girls look up to. I really feel that. And one of the reasons why I feel that is because I know that you're a fierce advocate for greater disability and visibility representation in the media. Can you tell us a little bit about your disability and diversity advocacy work?
Oh, I can go on for days. How many years do you have for us to sit down?
How many years do I have? Yeah, you know, keep it to like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, give me a high level.
3 or 4 years?
You know,
okay. Basically, I myself am visually impaired. I have a degenerative eye disease. And for a long time in my career, I kind of kept it secret because I was afraid of judgment. I was afraid I wouldn't get gigs or something like that. Or that even more so that people would feel sorry and kind of tiptoe on eggshells and be like, does she need help? And, you know, my whole message is like, yo, you're, you know, being badass and being like very confident. confident and not being afraid to kind of stand in front of your truth. So I went out and I said my truth. Hey, I'm not only do I have a disability and I'm a Black female, but I'm also here to kind of uplift other people with disabilities. And, you know, I keep my focus to people in music and entertainment, but through all spectrums of life, whether it's political, whether it's social justice, whether it's anything of the nature, there definitely needs to be more visibility and representation of people with disabilities. And one of the reasons I decided to walk down this path is because I would go to diversity panels, very excited to hear about diversity and what a lot of these organizations are trying to do to be more inclusive. And they would talk about race, which is amazing. They would talk about religion inclusion. They would talk about sexual orientation inclusion and gender inclusion, but they would never include disability as a diversity. So I took it upon myself to start kind of touting that horn. And it's a difficult conversation because people feel awkward about it, but I'm trying to break that stigma so that people feel a lot more comfortable. So I've been working with organizations like Respectability, who deal a lot with trying to get more visibility and more stigma busting of disability in Hollywood and entertainment. I work closely with them. I work closely with a lot of fashion brands who do inclusive fashion. I work with several other organizations like Art Beyond Sight and other such organizations to get the word out. A woman named Yvette Shivers that I work super duper close with. She, and the reason I say she is because she's female and she also has a disability. She actually also has an eye disease, and she's been kind of mentoring me in a way. I'm really, really excited and glad that I work with her on a lot of things. And we're just kind of running around stigma busting and just letting people know, you know what? Just because it's got the word dis in front of it doesn't mean you got to be going around dissing us. We're here, we're loud, and we are a diversity. So please include us when you are talking about diversity. Just as good as anyone else. People that have disabilities have a heightened sensitivity to problem solving. So if someone wakes up in a wheelchair and they've got to figure out how to get from their bed to their bathroom, well, our world was built not for them. So they have to use other means of figuring out how to get from point A to point B in everything in their life. So that muscle of problem solving is constantly worked and constantly flexed. So if you want someone who's a super duper wizard in problem solving, then you get that with people with different ability structures. And I believe that needs to be celebrated.
You know, that's a really great way to look at that, because I often find too, I have a teenage son who has ADHD. He's probably going to kill me for mentioning that.
Right.
But anyway, we have this conversation with him all the time too. While it's not a disability, it is a stigma. Very unfortunate that our culture, instead of embracing
the general society.
Yeah, it's society in general, right? You know, I like to embrace people's differences. I am who I am, right? If we all looked the same, if we all did everything the same way, you know, the world would just be so boring. So even with him, I try and tell him it's a medical condition, but, you know, don't just base your life off of that. You can do anything you want to be. Obviously, there are some limitations. I just think the work that you're doing, you know, coupled with the music and wanting to be an advocate is brilliant, and it's phenomenal. And I know that, you know, if there's any little girls out there listening to the show, I guarantee you some of them are going, I want to be just like her when I grow up.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh my God. I mean, same to you. It's really interesting about what you mentioned of embracing differences. If you have been sort of looking at what the top songs on the Billboard charts are, they are songs where we take two completely different aspects and completely different situations and have melded them together. I mean, the top song this year on Billboard were what? Old Town Road, that was taking hip hop and mixing it with country. We have Despacito, which was taking pop with more Latin backgrounds. And then you've got the 16 weeks of Mariah Carey and Boyz II Men. Our top songs are becoming these songs where we integrate differences so that different worlds can come together and enjoy the same thing. So I definitely second you on, we really need to embrace our differences because we definitely make something better when we do.
I completely agree. We're on the same page there. Definitely. So talking about differences, acapella, not something that I've ever done. And I know that it's your mission to bring more urban sounds to professional acapella. So can you give our listeners some insight to that?
So, you know, I've been sort of in love with acapella
cappella since I was in high school. A teacher of mine gave me a CD from his little a cappella group he was working on back then, and I had just fallen in love. One of the things that I learned about a cappella is that it's very collegiate. A lot of it stems from college and stems from universities. The more, how do I say, upper echelon-y universities.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of the music coming out of it is a lot more in that vein, in a non-urban vein, sort of pop or oldies or whatever. And yeah, some is exploratory, but not a lot get that authentic urban sound. I was speaking to a woman a while ago from Acaville Radio, where they actually play a cappella music 24 hours a day. And she had mentioned, you know what, when she hears urban a cappella, it just sounds so, I don't know, white people trying to sing urban music, basically. And it just doesn't feel authentic. I mean, I hate to just say it. And so I had made it my mission to really kind of delve into that, because I feel like, you know, a lot of the trouble with a lack of urban authenticity is just the fact that nobody is on the other side doing it. No one is arranging or composing it of color. Kind of how people go, we need more writers and directors behind the scenes of color, or we need more females behind the knobs. It's the same thing with arranging and composing. I mean, you'll get more authentic urban sounds when you have more actually urban people kind of on the backside of things. So I had made it my mission to start doing some arranging on my own. And not to say that there aren't other Black composers, of course there are, but I just wanted to throw my hat into the ring as well as a woman of color. And, you know, I embrace a lot of sort of current trap and current hip hop and current pop and kind of meld them together. That has been my mission, to kind of just put that out there for more people to hear, for younger people to hear and get more into a cappella music, because I fell in love with it and I want other people to be able to fall in love with it too, of my background.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. I just want to comment. I mean, they had the one TV show, Sing Off, that Pentatonix won.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a huge Pentatonix fan. And honestly, I watched, gosh, which one was it? Bohemian Rhapsody the other day, and I'm like sitting there going, there's no way there's no like instrument in this. I mean, the I'm just like, was even like movies like Pitch Perfect, because I mean, yes, it's more collegiate, but like they even did, you know, a lot of the blending and making it more, I would guess you would say, like hip
commercial.
And I think it's fantastic. And you know, you got me so excited after listening to your song. I was like, oh my gosh, to like do a couple songs like this would be killer. This is why I love like meeting different people, because it forces me as a singer-songwriter to look at different options. Because I'll be honest with you, I would have never even been like, oh my God, I'd like to do something like that. Maybe I need to kind of see what I could, you know? So it's great. So let's tee up. Tell me about Genius before we play it.
For sure. So Genius is originally a song by LSD, which is Labyrinth, Sia, and Diplo, who are all geniuses in their own right. And what you are going to play is my a cappella version of Genius, which is actually mashed up with one of my other genius heroes, Beethoven, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. It's actually being performed, and it's also being performed by Mezzo, which is a group here in New York City. And they're actually an all-female group that I put together. And so they do a very amazing job of singing the song. I really enjoyed putting it together. I frankly think it's one of my grand opuses. You might catch me rapping in the beginning, because I was very excited to play Lil Wayne's rap because he himself is a genius. Anyway, the point is, I really hope you guys enjoy this. A lot of people were involved in creating this. Mezzo, again, a great a cappella group. We had Alex Green, who is an award-winning producer, who came and put the magic finishing touches on it. If you hear those drums by Angie Kim, he's the one that kind of made them very thumping and very real. And so a lot of people worked on this together. So I really hope you guys enjoy this.
With that, let's play Genius.
I'm a genius under pressure, no question, I'm really special. Upper echelon when I bless you, no question, I'm intellectual. It's a pleasure, it gets sexual, women every complexion. Quick connection and ejection, my love is so ambidextrous. I'm a genius in perfection, a specialist in the exorcist. With excellence for evidence, recklessness for irrelevance. In the room, I'm an elephant, felon it for the hell of it. A, B, C, D, R, U, G, H, I, J, K, L, S, V. Do you think I'm batshit crazy having you on my mind? Do you think I'm helpless? My algebra gon' equal you every time. Do you think I'm calling? Do you think I'm calling out your name every night? Girl, I have fallen for you.
Falling for you.
Oh my God, to put your arm on my neck while I'm walking. Please understand, I have fallen for you. Na 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 na.
I think that song is brilliant. The minute I started listening to it, I was like, oh my God. It takes a lot to give me goosebumps. I'm very, very picky. I'm sure you are too. A lot of singer-songwriters are very critical and picky, and I'm very analytical. Right. So, you know, certain types of music, I'm just like, oh my God, I can't listen to this because it sounds like everything else. But it's extremely
inspiring.
Well,
thank you so much. I mean, that means a lot, especially coming from, you know, one songwriter to another.
Yes, you're welcome. My pleasure. I'm sure you've been really busy during the pandemic. I found that I'm collaborating more. What about you? Mm-hmm. Do you have a lot of collaborations, and how is it collaborating through the pandemic?
Collaborating has actually been something I specialize in before the pandemic. As a electronic dance music vocalist, which is, you know, my primary situation, I do EDM, I do dance, I do house. And in that vein, a lot of times I'll team up with a producer or a DJ, and we'll work together on a track where they produce the track and I sing the vocals, or I write a song and they come through and they produce a track around it. Collaborating has always kind of been my gig. So when the pandemic hit, all it really did was just amp that up and like ramp that to 150%. So it's been really, really great. I've been meeting a lot of new different people. Working internationally has also kind of been my gig. Expanding my contacts has definitely come during the pandemic, namely because a lot of producers and DJs are normally touring. And now that they're kind of sitting back and trying to create, a lot are coming through and going, hey, Lachi, remember that project we talked about and it never really turned into anything? Let's do it now. So there's been a lot of that, and it's been great. My juices have been flowing, and I've been able to keep super busy during this time, so I'm definitely grateful for that.
So as a songwriter, songwriter to songwriter, I already said it once while we were talking, I'm always trying to learn from other songwriters. So what types of tips or tricks do you have for great songwriting or composing?
Well, the number one thing I always tell people is to listen to the radio or to listen to playlists. Stay up to date. One of the biggest pet peeves I have is when people say, oh, there's no good music out, when that's absolutely not true. There's just great music out constantly. When you get into your own box and only listen to your own stuff, it's going to be very difficult for you to create something new and something that everyone wants to listen to but is also different. So I say, listen to the radio, listen to playlists, and allow it to guide you. Listen to your colleagues. Other performers out there are also your colleagues, your competition. Be proud of them for their successes and support them through their successes, and also learn from them. It's almost like playing a good-natured game of chess. You know, yes, you're competing, but you're also colleagues. To close yourself off and not listen to the radio or not listen to playlists, you're only shooting yourself in the foot. So get out of that mindset and open up your world to your friends and fellow songwriters out here doing what they got to do. So that would be one of my major points, because it really does help you out of things like writer's block. It gets you out of that headspace of, why am I not famous yet? You know, it kind of turns it into a paradigm shift. But also collaborate. We talked about collaboration. I think that opening up your borders and allowing other people to suggest things and then taking those suggestions and being like, you know what? Okay. Like, let's say, for instance, the song Messages that I had put out back in October. I had actually written that song with Treasure Gnome, and that song had come about. We were friends, and he's kind of a little on the spastic side. Please don't tell him I said that. He writes these really crazy long love letters or breakup letters and things like that, and I came across one that he was writing to an ex, and I was like, this is so beautifully chaotic and kind of crazy that this has to be a song. And that's how that song came about. So opening up your borders and working with other producers and other songwriters, as opposed to just kind of being in your own shell, a lot of it is really just opening yourself up to change and being influenced. That really does help with writer's block or just creating new and better sounds.
I completely agree. I think being flexible is key. I always say networking is key. The ability to work with somebody is key. I definitely agree with the listening to other music and listening to playlists, because I find too, when I start going into deep and start listening to like different things, all of a sudden I'm like going, oh, hey, that sounds like fun, or that would be cool to do something like that. So
right.
Great tips. With that, let's take a real quick break and say thank you to our sponsors, and we'll be right back on Mixing It with Nikki Chris here on Word of Mom Radio.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than one in four children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404 or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
From the beach to a ball game, from your office to a locker, stadiumbags.com has the clear bags for you. Don't let our name fool you. We are not just for sports fans. The great thing about our bags is, yes, they meet the size requirements for pro and college sports. More importantly, they have the quality, versatility, and style that will stand up to years of use. You can feel free to clean your bags with the solvents that are going to keep the germs away from your home and your personal belongings and still make safety and convenience coexist. So find us at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we are your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back on Mixing It with Nikki Chris on Word of Mom Radio, and our special guest, Lachi. So I've heard there are rumors of a book coming down the pipe, maybe, on your experience as a female color with disability in the American entertainment industry. Can you confirm, deny, or tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my literary agent might be very disappointed, but I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it anyway. Yes, there are definitely plans for a book coming out in the top of next year, fingers crossed, hopefully. So many people have told me that this story needs to be told, especially in today's America, especially with, you know, a lot of the division that we're dealing with gender, a lot of the division that we're dealing with race, and a lot of the invisibility that we're dealing with disability. And myself, having all three of those, managing to sort of stand out and gain a foothold of just a modicum of success and a modicum of space and voice, I'm being encouraged to let other people know, listen, yes, it's a struggle. Yes, it's tough. And yes, I've been through a lot of different situations and iterations in order to kind of scream loud to get what I want. And so many other people and so many other people in places and things like that have gone through this exact same thing. So what we do in my book is I go through and I interview tons of amazing women of color or women with disabilities or people of color with a disability, or someone who fits all three. And we get those perspectives of people in America trying to sort of swim through against this current and put that voice out there for other people to hear, other people to see. I don't want to name any of the people that we've interviewed yet, because we are still trying to do some clearances. But I will say I am very excited that I managed to get some very amazing people to be a part of this journey. So, yes, yeah, so that I can't – now I know that I can't say anymore. I'm definitely saying too much. But, yes, there is a book coming
out.
We
won't tell.
I'm very, very excited for it, and I really hope that people kind of stay tuned so that they can grab it, support it. And not just that, but definitely kind of look into it and follow some of these discussions that we put forth in it.
And I think it's really important because, you know, even as you were talking and going through that, I also think aside from potentially like female, non-female bias, race, gender, and disability, mm-hmm. I'm just going to be blunt. And I also think that at least in the music industry, there's an age bias, specifically
yes.
women.
Mm-hmm.
I felt it
mm-hmm.
personally. It's probably the biggest challenge that I face.
Right.
From, you know, being in the music industry because there's that stigma. They want women who are under 35, even appearance, right? You know, I mean, it's very cookie cutter. They want everyone to look a certain way, be a certain age so that they can target a specific demographic, where I actually look from the philosophy of I think that there's a lot of great musicians and singer-songwriters that are older.
Are outside of that cookie-cutter box, right?
Yeah, that, you know, in my opinion, you know, it'll take me out of it, but in my opinion, deserve a chance and deserve to be heard. And I think they're missing
right.
a whole demographic because, and I just said this the other day, when you target the 16-year-old girl, that's great. Well, guess who's paying for the music? Guess who's paying for the Spotify subscription? Guess who's paying
right.
for the concert ticket?
Right.
Don't you think you might want to
mm-hmm.
target the mom or the dad? Because they're going
right.
to be that older generation. But anyway, that's my little bent.
You know, but my response to that actually is, I mean, it all goes kind of back to who's behind the scenes making the choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who, if we start to see more, honestly, I do believe that if we start to see more females behind the scenes making the choices, we will see less of that because a lot of it is just not to sound controversial, but I mean, a lot of it is an old white man's fantasy. That's really all it is.
Do it. Yes, I love that controversial statement.
I mean, hello, like, who, I mean, 15 and 16-year-olds don't have purchasing power, so it's obviously not
yeah.
because they could purchase. And so, you know, once we start, and look, listen, Hollywood is working on it. We can see in the entertainment industry, I mean, the Oscars just said the other day that we need to have these diversity elements in order for you to even submit your movie to be Picture of the Year. And, you know, we're seeing people are, look, who's that guy from Mad Men? John Hamm. He didn't get his debut until 45. You know, there's
right.
so many roles for, like, older women because, I don't know, for some reason, Hollywood is embracing diversity a lot faster than music is.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because music is for listening. You know, it's not what
yeah.
you're seeing.
What, you know, who cares? You know, exactly. You're, yeah, exactly.
Like. So once we get some of these, once we start to rearrange, and honestly, and I don't want to knock white males in general, because a lot of the younger sort of millennial white males are a lot hipper to this element of diversity. But music, especially in the major realm, does have sort of a dinosaur old hat sort of methodology and does need some disrupting for sure.
So real quick, before we go into the second song that you brought with you, tell me, you know, give me an idea. And well, you might have answered this already also just with your response to my little comment that I made about the age bias. But what work can be done in the music industry to be more inclusive behind the scenes? You know, women, race, gender, disabilities, mm-hmm. age, so on and so forth. I mean, do you have any ideas that you think might be, you know, a good way forward?
Yeah. Well, again, so I am, as you know, a voting member of the Grammys like you are. And I'm also part of several other institutions like Women in Music and things of that nature. And a lot of these organizations are really doing what they can to start trying to open up some doors in a professional level to have professionals of different diversities in the background. I'm going to specifically target Women in Music because I really love that organization is specifically geared towards women in music. And what they do is it's just really a place for women to gain education, gain mentorship opportunities, gain internship opportunities at real places, at real record labels, at real marketing and publishing agencies, to start to rise up the ranks and eventually become some of these A&Rs, become some of these decision makers, become some of these marketing gurus so that they can start marketing things the way they should be marketed, not the way the industry has been marketing it. So organizations, just more support for such organizations, but also more organizations of that nature for different diversity situations. Like, I know that IMI, Immigrants in the Music Industry in the U.S., and basically it's bringing people of different country status that are living here to come together and start giving each other more opportunities. We have the Black Music Coalition, and that is focusing on helping get more African Americans in higher situations. But not only that, but to have very established Black people in the music industry to start speaking to organizations like Fender and things like that to become
right.
more inclusive, or to learn how to market to these communities. And so I think that just more focus on such initiatives is definitely a great start, because, I mean, these organizations already have some pull and already have some weight. So if they can open their doors even wider, that would help. But I would encourage them, if anyone from any of those organizations are listening to this right now, I would highly encourage you to make sure and remember that disability is also a diversity, and to include that in your outreach.
Wonderful. So let's talk about bigger plans. Give me an overview of this wonderful new song that you've brought with us.
Bigger Plans has come out. It's just such a positive, upbeat EDM song that I did with Invita, who is a producer also from here in New York. The song was released by Switch Records, which is a German label. What's going on is we have just released a music video for Bigger Plans. And the cool thing about this music video is that it stars a woman who is just dancing in a, some very beautiful fashion. And she's dancing in an art space, but the woman has a disability. She's mobile impaired, but she has a dance studio. The art space that she's dancing in is a disability inclusive specific art space. And all the clothes that she's wearing, from her shoes to her bra to her shirt to what's on her head, are all provided clothing from different inclusive fashion brands. And she's styled by Angela Bianchi, who is a diversity inclusion stylist. So everyone from the producers to the production crew to the editing to everyone associated with the video either identify as a person with a disability or are disability advocates. So we're really proud of this video, and we really love this song, and we hope you guys enjoy it too. Bigger Plans.
Let's play Bigger Plans. Wow. I can't wait to check out the video now. I'm sure I'm going to need tissues. I don't know. Maybe. I know it's an upbeat song, but I can watch YouTube and then just be like, oh, my God. Like, you know, every time. You know,
right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yes.
So before we close out the show, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners? Where can they find you on social media, perhaps?
So my name is Lachi, L-A-C-H-I, Lachi like Apache. And you can find me on Lachi Music, at Lachi Music, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, all those fun places. And then you can find my music on Spotify, Apple, Tidal, YouTube Music, wherever you listen to music. But definitely check out my website at lachimusic.com. And there you can sign up for my newsletter where we discuss a lot of the amazing fun things we're doing with disability advocacy, with music, some of the political moves we're making. And there you can also stay up to date with the amazing book that will be coming out. So Lachi Music, or just Google Lachi. I'm everywhere. I'm probably in your backyard. So just
oh, my God, I love it. All right. I'd like to thank my fabulous guest, Lachi, for taking the time to chat with us today. It's truly been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you all for tuning in to Mixed It. On behalf of everyone here at Word of Mom Radio, we send our thanks as we close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. This is Nikki Chris saying keep on mixing it.
She is sure, she is strong. She